Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
Dr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
It never gets old.
Words of Lawrence Taylor. We like this kind of party.
Sound has got some problems.
You know it's true too.
Oh yeah. Well, we know what kind of parties that he likes.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug, right? Oh,
yes, it is.
Oh man. No.
America. America. Man,
I'm Rick Day.
We are talking sports with the 12th man. With some number one draft picks.
Unity.
Never missed irrelevant. My guys. Oh, man.
Trey Quinn, Mr. Relevant. Former LSU Tiger, yeah. Transferred to SMU.
Hey. There it is. Hey, man, what do the five fingers say to the face?
What?
Oh, man. We're having fun, America. Darkness. Oh, man. America's like, what's going on? We just been having a pretty good week. Weekend, era, all the good jazz. But again, you are officially talking sports with the 12th man. Gentlemen, let's get this party started as we wrap up the month of April here, the 29th here. Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I feel awesome, bro. As much as I complained last time about the extra innings, the past 2 days, these games have been like 2.5 hours. I'm over this 13 games and 18-day stretch. I got a week off. My team had an okay draft, so I'm feeling good. I'm good, brother. How you doing?
All right, we'll talk about that too. Just okay. That's how you feeling, man? Just okay. You know. Okay.
There were moments that I liked, but overall, it was. I'm not one of those people that go crazy like, oh, we got the best draft ever. Like I try to be objective. I feel like it's like a B minus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
like
it was a B in my grade too.
Yeah, it's a B minus, a low B, but I mean, it's nothing where I was like, oh, we killed it, we won it. Like I'm objective. No, we didn't.
Yeah. I actually, from a value standpoint, I mean, I think Billy Price is going to be a good player. I didn't like the value of where they got him, but I really like the Bengals' third-round picks from a value standpoint.
Yeah.
And I love the running back from Miami they got in the fourth round, too. And I think he's going to be a guy that can really help them, really underrated guy. And I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on his name. Mark
Walton.
Yeah, Mark Walton. Yeah. And so he's one of those middle-round backs that I was really high on. He's got a potential to play up to the level of a second or third-round pick. And so I thought that was a really good pick for the Bengals, by the way. If you didn't get hurt last year, he's one of the best athletes on that Miami team.
Yeah, wow. Agreed. Yeah, that's what I said. They have moments. They have moments.
And that voice you hear is Rob Porter. We were going to try to set up the show, but we already kicked it in, man. We were already, like, talking draft stuff. So, America
–
I think the reason why, and I asked the question. I think the reason why JQ was upset is that he went to Lamar Jackson too. We'll talk about that later too. But anyway,
yes, Lord.
All good. Getting
Malik Jefferson and Sam Hubbard in the third round, I thought that was great value. And those are two players. I don't think they're gonna come in and walk in the door and be stars, but those are gonna be two players that's gonna help the Bengals right away from a rotational standpoint.
Agree, and that's the bright spot I was talking about. Agreed.
Rob, you going to introduce yourself, bro? Say how you doing, man? All the fun jazz?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they know who I am already.
I mean, it's just kind of part of the protocol for the show. But, again, you know, we always want to introduce us for those that may be joining for the first time again. So, Rob Ford, as we always do, too. Let's set this off really quickly since we are ready to go. The number's calling the show, 424-243-9519. Gentlemen, that's right off the cuff. That's just me memorizing that, man. That's just awesome. Follow us on Twitter.
You only done it 400 times.
At the number 12. For real,
you only said it about 10,000 times, man. You better remember.
I'm just saying, man. I don't need you talking any more junk, Rob. I'm just saying. It's pretty impressive that we got this down.
That wouldn't be
time.
Right, man. Our listeners expect it already.
Routine is good, man. So
that's why we do stuff like that. And I like to see you guys switch roles and see how you play out, Rob. You lead the show and see how it plays out. Anyway, let's do that. Again, the number
you do a really good job at it, man. I don't want to take your job.
Sure. Show some appreciation.
Not
here.
That I don't,
and then,
no. Not that I don't want your job. I don't want to take your job. There's a subtlety in that statement.
You don't want to take my job? Is that what that is? Wait a minute. My job's not appealing to you? Is that what you're trying to say? It's not a good job?
No, that's not what I was saying.
We're having fun.
We all play our roles well.
There it is.
It's called teamwork.
All right, so let's get this party started here. I know we're going to talk briefly some Major League Baseball news. Anytime I can talk about my Braves, I get a little excited about that. They're playing well. We'll start off with that, and then we'll jump right into the rest of the conversation, recapping the NFL draft. Me, a lot of conversation going back and forth, even though I was DJing over the weekend. It's always good to see the text. And let's kind of do a quick recap as far as that, too. And go ahead, Jake. Can you talk about that? Braves and Phillies, all the good jazz, man. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, they took two or three from them. I think they won today 10-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we
listen,
did. 10-1, yep.
Those young pups that I got to see play, and this is just me from my own, you know, selfish point of view, so to speak, but I got to see Albies and Cuna play, working for the Braves and a little bit for the Stripers this year with Acuna. Those two guys right there are – you've got a really solid foundation moving forward. Freddie Freeman is getting up there, but those two guys, I like – I've been on the Camargo bandwagon since before other people were on there, because he also was really good for the G-Braves. Listen, those guys, those young guys are playing well, and they've accelerated
the
timeline for Atlanta because of the way they're playing. They're going to hit some dips. It's a 162-game season. I understand that. But those two young guys, you could just see the jolt of energy that they put into that lineup and into that team. And, you know, why not now? I know Tehran's got hurting, but if get that pitching to shore up a little bit with the way those guys are hitting, Atlanta's got really, I don't know if they win the East, but they really got a good shot at least a wild card.
Yeah, and then really quickly with Camargo, too. That's why I'm kind of puzzled by the Bautista move. I mean, I don't know if they're just kind of like, you know, just kind of using him as kind of like a kind of utility guy because he's been playing third. But like you said, good jolt of energy. And anytime I can get Rob to talk about Atlanta and, you know, all the fun stuff, I like to do that too. So go ahead, Rob. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys said it best. I mean, you all are both right there in Atlanta, so got a little bit more of a pulse of the team than I have. I'll admit that. But, hey, I mean, the Mets got off to a hot start, and the Braves are only a game behind them right now. The Mets 16-9. Obviously, the Mets had a big win today, 14-2. But the Braves are right there with them at 16-11, tied with the Phillies right there, and then right there in the wild card. Not only in the wild card hunt, but in the hunt for the division. So they're right there in the mix. I mean, Acuna Jr., man, double twice today, reached base four times. Very successful first week in the majors. So this team's got a lot of young, bright stars on it. And you might have a chance to see a long run that you saw from the Braves from the 90s into the early 2000s here with this bunch that they have now.
Yeah,
one thing I was
going to
say really quickly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you
I was just
going to
give you from the farm. Bautista today had two RBIs, but before today he hadn't really done a whole lot. So, you know, Bautista, I know what you're saying, but you got a second. Let's just continue to stay warm this next week. Today was the real day, first day you saw him like, okay, he's a major leaguer, you know, made some really good plays defensively at third base, but hitting the ball today. I believe he was batting 143 going into today. Limited sample size, but he just, you know, got there. But he wasn't tearing the cover off the ball every time up. He got into a little groove today to see if it maintains. But I think Camargo still has a little bit more time before you have to worry about Will Bautista come mess with him.
Okay, gotcha. Appreciate that. And I'll keep you – I definitely want to hear your thoughts about that too, because there's a couple of players that I saw coming up. Like I saw Hayward, saw a couple guys. You're like, this guy's the truth, man. So you kind of see the talent as well too, man. So we definitely appreciate you keeping us abreast of everything from that perspective as well too. So good deal. You know, and just to kind of like I'm excited about, you know, definitely the future, because I know we got to get some pitching here. And that's the thing that we'll talk about as well, because, again, we haven't been normal. Normally, that hasn't been our weak spot, so we got to get that definitely strengthened. And just really quickly, the last thing about the Braves, we'll talk about Robert's Yankees. is that I kind of feel bad for Preston Tucker because he's been playing really well too. So it's kind of tough that, you know, he kind of had to sit, you know, for Ronald Acuna Jr. But I don't know what's going to happen to Markakis, but I definitely think you got to get
that's
Tucker some more time too. And, you know, so that's the thing as well.
You got to get rid of Markakis first. That's the key. You got to get rid of Markakis first.
He's a professional hitter too. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, we've talked a lot about our Braves here. So what's the concern for the Yankees?
Your Braves.
Rob, go ahead and kick it off. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think the Yankees right now are starting to get into a little bit of groove. I mean, right now they're actually holding the wild card spot in the American League. They got off to a little bit of a slow start. You know, the Yankees fans are ready to fire Aaron Boone already. I'm like, man, he's only been coaching or managing 12 games. Y'all ready to fire
Don't be like the Reds.
Already?
Don't be like the Reds.
New York. No, he deserves to be fired. No, he deserves
to
be fired.
Fire. But
Jesus.
I think, you know, the Yankees
I'm
just
– you, Jackie.
They're starting to swing the bats really well right now. Giancarlo Stanton right now, and Aaron Judge. They're really starting to, even though they got a 2-1 victory over the Angels tonight, but they're really starting to come around as far as swinging the bats. And I've also, they still can use another stabilizer or two on their pitching staff here going forward if they're going to be in contention for a world championship. With the Red Sox starting to settle, come back to earth a little bit here. And but down the stretch, obviously, as much pitching as they can get going forward is going to be the best thing they can do. Now, they got a real stretch here. It's probably going to be one of the toughest stretches of the season. They kick off a 13-game stretch here, where they're in the middle of a 13-game stretch. They're starting Friday night in Anaheim. I mean, you got the Angels and the Astros on the road, and then they at home against the Indians and the Red Sox. So I think we'll see how good they are here in this stretch here. I mean, they got a 2-1 victory tonight. C.C. Sabathia was outstanding tonight. He's 2-0 on the season to help him get a big win here. But like I said, this is a big stretch for him. We'll see how good they are. They usually struggle at Anaheim against the Angels, but come out with a big 2-1 victory on the road here. Aaron Judge usually struggles against the Angels, 2-7-33. But Giancarlo Stanton is usually hits the ball really well against the Angels in his career. He's 13-33, 3 home runs. So, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, like I said, I think another pitcher or two to stabilize them a little bit, both in the starting rotation and in the bullpen, I think is really going to help them to, you know, secure them some success this season.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, that guy you're looking for, I think, is on your team. You signed and you traded for him, and that's Sonny Gray. He's not been consistent. He's been horrible, really, if you want to be honest, for the stature that he has had in the league. He's got to be better than that. And you also, I believe, you got to get Gary Sanchez going more consistent.
Yep.
If you put Sanchez with Stanton and Judge, I mean, that's dosely ridiculous in the middle of that lineup with that kind of power. I think, you know, Benintendi and I think Chapman are figuring
it out. He's starting to wake up a little bit, too.
Yeah, he is. So I'm not going to, you know, dig the, you know, put the dirt on the grave, you know, prematurely like the Yankees fans have been, you know, when Stanton was getting off with all the strikeouts. And so, you know, it is what it is. They'll settle into it. You can't get too high and you can't get too low unless you're the Reds and you only have like 6 wins. You can be too low. But for other teams that are out there actually playing decent, you know, you can't get too high, too low. It's still early. You know, you just don't want to fall so far behind where you can't catch up. But if you're not killing the ball right now, but you're able to stay around 500, you're going to give yourself a shot as the weather starts to warm up.
Yep.
There it is. All right. Hey, so as we kind of transition here, there's been 9 sports talk shows that made mistakes, not picking me up, man. So I'm very motivated right now. Do what I got to do. Taking out everyone, man. Got your neck. Right.
Okay.
I got it, man. I'm just saying, Rob, what do you think about Rosen's comments, man?
Well, you know, I know we briefly chatted about this, but I'm not a big fan of the way he came out and chatted about that. You know, I just say, you know, you go out and do your job, and I actually think he actually put some targets on his back now, and as a result of the way it came out. And you know, my thing is just go out and prove yourself. Go out and do it. Don't go out there whining and crying. You know, go out there and prove them wrong. And you don't have to talk about proving them wrong. Just go and do it. Just be like Nike. Just do it. And
just do it.
So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of, you know, he just comes across like a little spoiled brat to me. I agree. And I mean, that's just the way he comes across. Like, you know, he's entitled. And I mean, just go out. I think he's got a chance to be a legitimate NFL quarterback, but he's just got to go out and put in the work and prove these people wrong. But I don't think he's got to go out there and act like he's entitled and being a spoiled brat and nine people proved him wrong. Shucks, man, a good bit of those teams that passed and didn't need a quarterback, first of all. I mean, only ones that passed him up were maybe three teams, and that was the Browns, the Jets, and the Bills trading up to number seven.
And Giants.
I mean, well, yeah, you can make a case that the Giants and the Broncos passed them up, too. They might need quarterbacks, too.
Yeah, something.
So,
there it is.
There might be five teams up there legitimately. But just go out there and prove yourself. And, you know, I don't remember. Aaron Rodgers kind of had a – I don't think he was this bad as as Rosen. But he's just coming across like a little entitled, spoiled brat with all the whining and crying. Just go out there and play football, prove the people wrong. You got to prove you can stay healthy. You weren't able to prove that in college.
Uh-oh. So. Yeah, you know what? Like 98.35% agrees with you, but that other 1.65% absolutely loves the fact that he came out there and says that. And you know what? You're right.
It's good entertainment.
I like the fact that he's bet on himself, and that's where that 1.65 comes out for me on there, is that I like the fact that he came out and bet on himself. He did put a target on his back. Anytime he plays against those other guys, they're going to make sure that he knows that they're the better quarterback than he is in all those other teams. Like, he's put the target on his back. But a piece of me loves the guy that says, you know what, I did it, what? I'm going to come out here and back it up and prove it. And you're right, he's got to go out there and do that. But I can't lie. There's a real small piece of me that was like, you go and give him the business, Josh Rosen. You better tell him how you feel about it. Like, I'm going to be the man. You messed up. I'm going to be that guy. Watch me count these Super Bowl rings. A piece of me, and it's small, but there's a small piece of me that absolutely love that. But you're right. The piece of me that is like, yeah, come on, man. You haven't done 0.0% yet in this league. You can't come out here and start talking about what NFL teams have done wrong, and you ain't stepped on the field yet. You're 100% right, Rob, and I can't disagree with that. But I can't lie. A piece of me liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of, you know, definitely kind of agree with Rob in certain instances, because there's certain guys that you're like, you try to manufacture, like this, persona. And those guys aren't the guys that you're scared of. The guys that I'm scared of are the guys that are quiet, like, okay, I got you. You know what I'm saying? You've played against those guys, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, you know where some of like that quiet confidence, that silent assassin type of mentality. I mean, it's okay to kind of talk a big game, but there's some guys that you're like, okay. And it's good to have confidence. I'm not saying that's not a confident statement. You can say, hey, I thought I'm the best quarterback, blah, 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 whatever. But I kind of agree with Rob, the way he said it, it was just like, you can kind of tell he's kind of that dude that he's just like a spoiled bratish, you know, like, come on, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I mean, I kind of felt like he was trying to, like, psych himself up. And, you know, those guys never, they kind of, like, boast, you know, hit him in the mouth one time, and then they shut up, you know. So, again, it's just one of the situations where he didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
Be confident, but don't come across the way that it came across. It definitely seemed like he was it was so bad.
Tom Brady got drafted in the sixth round. You hear him whine, he went out and proved himself. Drew Brees got picked in the second round. You didn't hear him whine. He went out and proved himself.
Hey, listen, I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I totally agree with that. But I'm just being honest with you. A piece of me absolutely loves the moxie of, you know what, I'm that dude, and I'm going to tell you I'm that dude, and I'm going to tell you was wrong, and I'm going to come out here and back it up. Now, he's got to come out there and back it up, and the jury is still out on that.
You better back it up.
The jury's still out on that, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I can't lie to you. A piece of me is not like, you go on, tell him, you know, walk it like you're talking. Go on and put that Nikos on him. Like, do it. You know what I mean? A piece of me likes that. I like a little Rob Rousey. I like a little bit.
We're cool with the confidence. I mean,
I'm sure Sam
Darnold
would have liked to have been the number one pick, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, but I think it's different because, like, you know, Baker was, you know, he's pretty confident and he said his little thing, but just the way that I think it came across with Rose, it just seemed like a different. Like I said, I'm 100% with you, JQ. It's good to have confidence and say, hey, I'm the best quarterback. I feel I'm the best quarterback in the draft. But that's how you say it. So that's all I'm saying.
He even said it like a little
pissed.
Rat.
He was pissed. That dude was pissed.
He's looking for anything for motivation. I think he's the kind of guy looking for anything for motivation, though. You know, like I said, some guys will find, oh, you talking junk about me? Oh, my sister. You know, really? You know,
right.
Come on. You know,
not my sister.
That's kind of
you stupid.
But I'm saying it's one of those things. You look for anything to try to motivate yourself, and then after a while, you're gonna run out of gas, man. There's a quiet confidence that some people have that you don't need certain things to kind of, you know, you're confident in your skills. So, you know, again, he's got a target on his back, like you said. Now it is up to him to prove it. So we'll see. And it does make for interesting television. I will say that because, you know, you kind of, you know, say, hey, look at me. So everyone's going to take notice. And they're going to give him a lot of best shots too, man. Kind of like your boy Lonzo Ball here. But anyway, we'll keep it going here. Listen to like a lot of the kind of draft recaps. Everyone seems to love what the Arizona Cardinals did. So what are your comments about that, JQ? What do you think about their overall draft?
Well, I mean, I'm not in love with everything, but the top of their draft, listen, I don't know what happened with the wide receivers in this draft. And we just talked about Rosen, but getting Rosen and then pairing him with Christian Kirk is a fantastic 1-2 punch. And if you can keep David Johnson healthy, woo, that's nice. I'm not going to include Larry Fitzgerald on that because we don't know how much longer he has, and it may take more than 1 year, you know, 2 to 3 years for Rosen and Kirk to click. But when your nickname is Baby OBJ, you know, and it's not one that you gave yourself, you out here on Instagram clowning like other people are disrespecting your game like that. Like, I was surprised that Christian Kirk fell that far. Even I thought Christian Kirk was really, really good. And he might sneak into the top, into the bottom of the first. But I like that for them. You know, if you can set yourself moving forward, and you feel like you already got the running back, and you can get Rosen and Kirk to go along with him. And get a very good, stable veteran like Larry Fitzgerald, even if it doesn't always translate on the field this first season. But just behind the scenes, the mentoring and getting them right, that, you know, I'm passing the torch to y'all kind of moment, like you the future and I'm the past, and we're going to try to intersect them this year, but I can hand you the torch and move forward. I really like those two picks for Arizona at the top of the draft.
Grab four.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even though we just talked about, you know, what we didn't like about Josh Rosen, I absolutely love the value of where Arizona got him at the number 10 spot in this draft. And, you know, obviously, I still feel like he's a top 5 or top 6 pick in this draft. And for Arizona to give him 10, and they moved up to the right spot to give him, they would have to obviously give up a lot more to move up until 5 or 6 to get him. So I absolutely love the value of where they've got him. And actually, to me, this is one of the best first-round picks in the draft. I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but this is one of my 5 best picks of the first-round draft for the Arizona Cardinals. And hopefully it works out for him. You know, like I said, do I think he's a brat? Yes, but I do think this is still one of the best picks in the first round of the draft. And then to come back and get Christian Kirk, who I think has a legitimate chance to be a really stud in the slot position, in their offense going forward, and as a kick returner too. So he can add another element to their game to improve their offense. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald is getting up in age, and I do think he will be better to be utilized in the slot a lot more, and also, of course, in the return game. But even getting on to the rest of the draft, this is one of the better drafts, in my opinion. I did give the Cardinals an A. Even their third-round pick, Mason Cole, was center from Michigan. They got him at number 97 overall, just at the back end of the third round. I had a high fourth-round grade on Mason Cole, but this is a guy that I think can come in and play right away for this team too, even possibly be a starter right away for him as well. And typically you can find centers in these mid-rounds to come in and play right away, and Mason Cole is one of those guys. To me, very good pick for the Arizona Cardinals as well. So I think they did really good in this draft overall. From even Chase Edmonds, running back from Fordham. He's a little guy, and if it wasn't for injuries, I think he could have even gone a little higher in the second or third round as well. So he's a guy that can give them some depth behind David Johnson. And as you recall, this past year, they had to go out and get a trade for me with the Saints to get Adrian Peterson. He helped them out for a couple of games before he got injured as well. So they need some depth at that running back position. So getting Chase Edmonds in the fourth round could be another piece to him as well. Chris Campbell, the sixth-round pick, cornerback from Penn State, another guy that I think can come in and give him some depth, started all 13 games as a senior. He's got better and progressed as his career went along at Penn State. And then their last pick, JQ may be familiar with him, Corey Cunningham, offensive tackle from Cincinnati. I think he's got, this is another kid with a lot of upside. He's got a lot of potential. And obviously he's a little bit raw, but from an athletic standpoint, he's got a lot of potential. And he was one of those guys you thought was going to go either in the latter part of the seventh round or be one of these undrafted free agents that every team was coveting. And I know there were 9 or 10 teams that were hoping they would be able to get their hands on him as an undrafted free agent as well. So he's a guy that's got a lot of potential, a lot of upside, if he gets the right coaching and can possibly come in and add some depth to that Arizona offensive line. So I really like what they did in the draft.
Good job. Yeah, and looks like one of the teams that just had a lot of picks and they were very just a really good job as far as analyzing on the picks and – getting filling needs and getting some depth too, like we talked about. So looking forward to those top best picks of the first round too, Rob, as well. Let's talk about Baltimore. And I'm hoping this is not a not a sore subject for JQ in that they ended up grabbing Lamar Jackson, trading back him at the end of the first round. Ozzie Newsome's last draft as well. And I know me and JQ were going back and forth. We actually thought that the Saints were going to actually move up to get Lamar, so that was interesting as well. But in your analysis, JQ, do you think that this is a good fit for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore?
I absolutely do. And, yeah, it's going to be a sore subject because I got to deal with this dude now for the next decade plus probably, and I'm just not really pleased about it at all. I mean, Joe Flacco had a really good run. He got hot, and he won the Super Bowl, and he parlayed it into a good contract, but I think we all know that he's done as being effective for the Baltimore Ravens as a starting quarterback in terms of Super Bowl potential. I just don't see that from Joe Flacco. So if you can get Lamar Jackson, we talked about it ad nauseum leading up to the draft about how I didn't feel that Lamar Jackson was getting his just due. So to see him go to Baltimore and into my division really bothers me. I really thought Cincinnati had an opportunity there. And to piggyback on Rob's point here just a minute ago, you can get a center to plug and play in the middle of the draft. You don't have to go get a center in the first round when you know that Andy Dalton is not that guy. So, for me, Baltimore realizes the guy they have is not that guy faster than Cincinnati did, and that's going to cost them. And they're going to have to now deal with Lamar Jackson. You saw what Deshaun Watson did to him on that Thursday night game. Now they got to deal with this dude twice a year. So, yeah, good job, Cincinnati. That's a great fit for Baltimore. I hate it, but it's a fantastic pick. All the moving back in there, moving back to get him. Awesome job by Ozzie Newsome on the way out the door.
Good job. Rob?
Yeah, I agree. You got to tip your hat to Ozzie Newsome, the way they moved around in the draft and where they were picking them. At number 32, I think is great value as well, getting Lamar Jackson. I thought he had a chance to go somewhere between 16 and 22 in the draft, and then we was able to get him at the 32 spot. I mean, he's probably going to sit for a couple of years in my estimation, never know. You never know. He may be thrust in there a lot, Susan. You never, Joe Flacco's injury situation, things of that nature, not wishing anything bad on him, but, you never know. He may be thrust into action a lot sooner, maybe even this year. But, I like Lamar Jackson's game. I mean, when I study him, he's got a quick release. He doesn't hold on to the ball. A lot of times, when you look at quarterbacks who like to run, when you really study them, a lot of times you think they hold on to the ball a long time, then take off running, or he just tucks it down right away and start running. But if you look at some of his passes, throws, he really gets rid of the football really quickly. Seems as though he processes information extremely well. He recognizes coverages, get rid of the football. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. I really do. I mean, I don't know if he'll be a Hall of Famer, and maybe he will, but I just think he's got a chance to be a really good player. To me, he gets rid of the football, he processes information, and when it's time for him to run, he does. He can give you that element to the game as well. So I just personally think there's just so many teams that are just scared of this type of quarterback. And, not too many of them have been successful other than the Cam Newtons getting all the way to the Super Bowl and being league MVP and things like that. And so I just think there were just too many teams that were scared to pull a trigger on them. And obviously from JQ's standpoint, you know, I had a couple of mocks where I put Lamar Jackson, and I actually thought it would have been a good fit, a very good fit for Marvin Lewis and the Bengals. And, and you see some teams like Pittsburgh who gets Mason Rudolph in the third round. Now you got the Ravens getting Lamar Jackson. And these are teams that have some questionable quarterback, you know, I'm not going to say questionable, but they have question marks at quarterback because Roethlisberger has been contemplating retirement here in the next couple of years. But Dalton, I don't get it. I'm kind of with JQ. I don't get how long are they going to stick with him at the quarterback position. And then to piggyback off your comments about the Saints, I knew all along that Saints were not going to be trading up to draft a quarterback. I knew it was to go and get a defensive end. They felt like that was the missing piece on their football team, that they needed another pass rusher to complement Cameron Jordan. And I knew right away that's what they were going up to get, somebody that can affect the quarterback. And that's what they did. I knew it was not to get a quarterback, even though at some point they will have to address that position.
All right.
Yeah, I dropped me that.
poor JQ. I was going to tell you, too, man, it brings back memories, man, of some quarterbacks, man, for you, JQ, like Jeff Blake for the world, man. I just go back in time, man, when I think about Cincinnati and all that. But
I like Jeff Blake,
we'll
but Achilles Smith and all those guys. David Klingler.
Man.
I mean, come on, man. Andy Dalton sucks. How long does it take for them to realize that what everybody else already knows? Like, that's the most frustrating.
At least you're not the Browns. At least not the Browns, man. We'll say that, man.
Hey,
I mean,
Jeff
Blake
helped my Saints out for a season.
I like Jeff Blake.
He's going to be targeting the Falcons and didn't come through either. All right. Hey, so, guys, so let's talk about a quick recap. So, again, so we were excited about the draft. This is probably one of the more exciting drafts, too, I'll say, gentlemen, because you really didn't know what was going to happen. And when I say that, it's like whenever that first pick came down and you heard Baker Mayfield getting announced, you were like, what? Because, again, I mean, we heard some rumors, but we really didn't know, right? You heard Rosen, you heard Allen, you heard everyone, you know, you heard Darnold and what they should have picked. And then they turn around and give us the whole shock and actually take Baker Mayfield. So Rob, the question is, for both of those guys, for Sam Darnold and Mayfield, if I can talk straight, will they actually start for their prospective teams? You can start with whoever you want to start out with and kind of go from there.
I think at some point in their rookie seasons, they will be the starting quarterbacks on their team. It may not be week one. And I think in Cleveland, they signed Tyrod Taylor to be a bridge between whoever they draft at the quarterback position. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I think even with the Jets, Josh McCown, he is the good thing about the Jets situation with Sam Darnold, Josh McCown loves working with the young quarterbacks. And so he's not the type that's just not going to – he's just going to go out there and play and not try to help the next guy. He's that guy who's going to try to give as much to the next guy as possible. So if you're the Jets, they have a perfect situation for the bridge from Josh McCown to Sam Darnold. But I do think at some point in this rookie season, both of those teams are going to turn over the franchise to Baker Mayfield and to Sam Darnold, but it just may not be week one.
Yeah, I mean, and it's for the first one, what you hear in the beginning of the draft process is what you should hold on to, because as you get further along, that's when you get more of the lies that happen. If you remember way, way back when, we talked about it, and I told you that the Cleveland's, the guy they got from Washington to be their special counsel, like assistant, he was the GM for Washington, McCollin or something like that. He was in love with Baker Mayfield. And I said that, and we were like, oh, there's no way that Baker Mayfield goes number one. And then everything started progressing to, oh, will they take Barkley? Or will they take Darnold? Or are they going to take Josh Allen? And then it comes full circle back to Baker Mayfield. So maybe in the beginning we should go with those predictions, because those are the ones that are actually closer, and they start smokescreening after that. But I agree with Rob. Listen, you trade for Tyrod Taylor, you sign Carlos Hyde, you trade for Jarvis Landry, you already have Coleman, and you have Josh Gordon if he's going to stay off the drink and the weed. And you look at it and say, okay, how far can we go into the season to make a run before we decide? It's true. Before we decide, to try to, you know, see what the young guy has. Listen, I mean, you get suspended for a year for that. I mean, we got to bring that up. That's not a gimme that you're going to play every week. So from Cleveland's standpoint, you feel like you're trying to – we're not trying to go 0-16. If we start a rookie quarterback, we can go down that road, even if we think he's going to be good. He's going to have bumps and bruises. Like you said, a bridge quarterback in Tyrod, we made those moves, and we've re-signed Jarvis to a big extension, and we've got the other two guys on rookie contracts. So we're going to try to see what we can do with Tyrod Taylor as a starter and not, you know, throwing all the way into it. So I don't think that happens for him, and I agree. McCown, real quiet, like McCown was not bad for the Jets last year. They were really competitive.
They got off to a good start with him.
They did. Jenkins with that crazy fumble call against the Patriots. How do we know how that game turns out if they don't take that touchdown away from the Jets? Like, the Jets have played some really competitive games. That defense is not bad at all. It's getting better, and if they can get anything on the offensive side to match it. So I think it's not going to be an early kind of season where you throw those guys into it. It's going to be later when it's like, okay, we're eliminated. You know, we're not going to make it. Then you might see them get thrown in there, see what the young guys got with no kind of pressure on them. But nowhere near week one. I think it's week 10 plus for either one of those guys.
Good call. Now, we're gonna let Rob kind of take over for the Cleveland in draft, only because the reason why I'm letting him do this, JQ, is because he did a good job of doing the mocks. So I'm kind of let him lead those off and kind of fill in the gaps here, since I know you love the Browns so much. But the Browns made two surprises in that, you know, they didn't pick up Bradley Chubb like we thought. And, you know, a couple clips, but they did get. They still get some good talent. So, Rob, tell us your thoughts about Cleveland's overall draft, bro.
Well, yeah. Do I think Cleveland got some good players in the draft? Absolutely. Do I think they got good value in a lot of their draft picks? I don't.
No.
Even the Baker Mayfield pick. I mean, I get it. Leading up to the draft, Baker Mayfield wasn't going to get past the Jets. If Cleveland took Sam Darnold, the Jets were going to take Baker Mayfield. It's that simple. So, I mean, is that a little bit of a reach? Yes. Is it a big reach? No. That's the guy they settled on. But both of those teams had made the decision that those are the top two quarterbacks in the draft. Both the Browns and the Jets made that decision that Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold in their estimation, were the top quarterbacks in the draft. I still am not sold on them taking Baker Mayfield.
But they made their guy, though. They made their guy. I'd cut you off. And at least give them credit for picking
the guy. Yeah, they made
their guy. Yep, good.
They did that. And they got their guy. And I just think that I just hope that the Browns, for their sake, that they had a much higher grade on Baker Mayfield than they did on Sam Darnold. But from a value standpoint, they could have got Chubb or Barkley at number one and possibly have still gotten a Baker, Mayfield or Darnold at number four. And if Mayfield was their guy. So I just hope from their standpoint, with him going with the quarterback first, that he was a clear cut and had a clear cut higher grade than the rest of these players. I think they could have managed this a lot better from a trade down standpoint. Even the Denzel Ward pick, I know JQ is probably going to be really high on him. Denzel Ward, cornerback from Ohio State. In my estimation, definitely the best cornerback in the draft. And you saw what Marshawn Lattimore did last year. So maybe Cleveland is banking on that again as well. But I didn't think he was the fourth best player in this draft. I mean,
correct.
Even though you drafted the defensive end from Texas A&M on last year, I thought Chubb
Miles
was a better player,
yep.
And I thought that was a shock that he passed up Chubb at the number four spot. That was another opportunity for the Browns to find a trade partner and move down if Ward was your guy. I just didn't think they did very well from the value standpoint of a lot of their picks as well. And like I said, are these guys going to be good players for them? I do believe so. But I just thought they could have handled it and got a lot more value if they would have handled it. They could have handled the draft a lot better. And to me, I think the Browns, they got it all wrong once again. So we'll see what kind of results they get from it. Even Austin Corbett, offensive lineman from Nevada, I mean, they had an opportunity. James Daniels was still on the board. Will Hernandez went with the very next pick right behind him at 34. And I know Corbett is a versatile guy. He can probably play tackle or guard. He can probably come in and be a right tackle right away or any of the guard spots for you as well. But I just thought there were a few other linemen that were rated a little bit higher. You could have even had Connor Williams right there, offensive tackle from Texas. And Nick Chubb was even a little bit of reach in my estimation at 35 as well. But once again, I do think he'll be able to come in and help the team. So they got good players. I just don't think they did very well from the value standpoint of where they took. To me, their best value pick was Jannard Avery, linebacker in the fifth round. That's a guy I had a third-round grade on, and they got him in the fifth round. So to me, that's their best value pick in the entire draft. Chad Thomas, defensive end, they got in the third round. Now, this guy is a sleeper that could be a pass rusher that come and help him in situations. I had a fourth-round grade on him. They got him in the third. You know, he's a part-time rapper as well, so maybe if he concentrates on football, he can be a little bit better. But he's a guy that can be a situational pass rusher for you. So, like I said, do I think they got good players? Yes. I just don't like what they did from a value standpoint in the draft.
Listen, there's one thing I'll give them, and I know I'm here in the minority, but I wasn't sold. I was partial to Lamar, but I know he wasn't going in the top five as much as I like him. I feel like that if you don't like any of the quarterbacks, you go with your guy, you go with the guy that wins. And Baker is a winner. If you roll the ball out and the lights are brightest and the pressure is on, that dude's going to give you everything he has in a positive way to help you win a football game. So that piece of it I get if you like him, but I totally agree. I feel like you take Barkley or Chubb one, and I still feel like you can get him at four. Or if you want to trade up to two with the Giants to give up some, you had three second-round picks to make sure you got them back-to-back, you could have done that if you were Cleveland. And the Denzel Ward thing, the pressure they put on him. He's an Ohio kid that went to Ohio State. Cleveland is a huge Ohio State bastion. Now he's playing cornerback for the Browns as an Ohio kid that went to Ohio State. Think about the pressure you just put on that kid reaching for him at four. You could have moved back to between. That's a ton of pressure. Now you can okay, we're going to find out. But I agree, you could have moved back in that 6 to 10 range and still got Denzel Ward. And then the Callaway pick, why? You just traded for Jarvis Landry. You got Corey Coleman. You got Josh Gordon. When is he going to play? Like, I mean, even in that part of the draft, I mean, unless you just think that Coleman is not that guy or Gordon is not going to keep his nose clean, literally and figuratively, I mean, why would you even put – and he's a problem
Gordon,
child.
Though.
Why would you do that, though? Like, at best, he's your fourth wide receiver on your team, and you have other holes to fill. I just don't get it for some of the stuff that Cleveland did. I totally agree. They have some guys that can be good, but the value they got on that was all the way wrong.
Yep. Man, I actually like a lot of the mock drafts that I put together for the Browns. I think they could have came away a lot better in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, we'll give them a chance to prove me wrong here. They got 3 years to do so. So we'll see. But, you know, on paper, some of the mock drafts that I had put together, I thought the Browns could have came away with this draft as real studs, and I'm just not convinced of that at the moment.
I agree.
All right, gentlemen, we got 2 minutes literally, so go ahead and get this show wrapped up. We were talking a lot, so let's wrap this up as well, Rob, and get ready for the OT portion.
Ladies and gentlemen, we enjoy doing what we do, obviously talking sports here, and but we got a lot more to talk about here. We still got a lot of NFL draft to cover here in our OT portion. We still haven't gotten to the NBA playoffs. We're going to get that covered for you also in the NBA, OT portion. Unfortunately, this portion of the show, we can't give it to you live. Click on the same link tomorrow while you're on your lunch breaks. Hook up your phone to your car. You can download it and listen to it while you're driving in or driving home tomorrow. And let us know what you think, if you agree with us or disagree with us. So you can listen to the same link. Click on the same link tomorrow. You can listen to the rest of our NFL draft coverage and also our NBA playoff coverage. You won't be disappointed, we promise. So definitely do that. Next week, we're going to give ourselves a little bit of a break. We're going to be back on the air on next Wednesday. That's going to be Wednesday, May 9th. Once again, it's going to be Wednesday, May 9th. We're going to have the kind of break that, you know, an NBA team, when they sweep and they wait for another series to be over with, and you got to sit around and wait.
Nice.
That's the kind of break we're going to have here. You know, sometimes we come at 2 or 3 days west and like a Major League Baseball pitcher, but we're going to give ourselves a little break like a team that just swept somebody in the NBA playoffs. We got to wait for another series to be over with before we play again. So we're going to have that kind of break. Good night, people.
Nice. That boy there is a fool. Come on, Cincinnati, you guys draft Lamar Jackson. You're going to rule the day that you didn't take Lamar Jackson. He's going to light you up. Ooh, it's going to be bad. And I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to throw stuff at the TV. I appreciate everybody for listening to the show and downloading it. Absolutely. Holler at you next Wednesday. I'll be coming back from the United game. I'll holler at you. Talk to you next week. Be safe.
Nice. Nice.
Don't break no TV, right, JQ.
I might.
I love it. We love the passion. That's what we like to do here. All right, gentlemen, we are officially into the OT portion here. And let's keep it going. Let's talk still draft talk. We, Rob's talking a lot of love that his mock draft is better than what the Cleveland Browns actually did. So I love the confidence, man. Just don't go too much like your boy Josh Rosen, though, Rob. Hey, let's talk about the Giants. And all through last week, we were pretty much saying that the Giants held the key to the draft because they were that number two pick. Whatever they did was going to literally put the whole draft on notice, and that's exactly what happened, because if they would have drafted a quarterback, the draft could have went a different direction. They would have drafted Chubb, whatever. But as you see, they ended up taking Saquon, which really good pick, and now it kind of set the stage that, okay, we're going to give Eli another chance and what's going to happen here. So let's talk about them, Rob, and their overall draft.
Yeah. Well, needless to say, I guess y'all can figure out, I did not give the Cleveland Browns an A on their draft, but I did give the Giants an A. The Giants, another team who I really like what they did in the draft. I gave them an A. The only thing I can fuss over them about is, you know, you can argue whether or not you pass up on a quarterback at number two in this year's draft. So, but you can't argue too much over the Saquon Barkley pick. I mean, obviously – he could be the best player in this draft, and he's really going to help that offense here probably for a good 6 or 7 years at least if he's healthy. So that's an element of the game. Automatic Giants haven't had a running back in, I mean, what, six years? Yeah. And so it's been a while since they've been having this kind of a weapon at the running back
Brandon
position.
Jenkins. Shut up,
yeah.
Tiki Barber.
Yeah, come on.
I'm just messing.
I mean, if you
go
talk
ahead.
About Brandon Jacobs, man, it's probably been
Rob
10
Dave.
Years.
Yeah,
you
totally
probably
got
to go back to
I'm
the
totally
2005-06 season before they had a legitimate threat at the running back position. So, I mean, you're talking 12, 13 years. So, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I could, question them on is, do you pass up an opportunity to possibly – get a franchise quarterback with the way Eli has been struggling the last couple of years. But I did think they got good value in getting Kyle Oletta, quarterback from Richmond. They got him in the fourth round, which I thought was very good value. I actually have him going as more of a third-round pick. And even one of my mocks, I moved him up to a second round. So I think they got good value there. Could be a very underrated player, a player that they can possibly develop. Obviously, you can't argue with the Barkley pick. Will Hernandez, getting him where they got him at number 34 in the second round,
yes,
I think was a real steal. And even that's another thing you can argue over the Browns. You know, how did the Browns pass him up? And but he falls to the Giants. Great pick. A guy who's probably going to come in and start day one, help out that offensive line, which that offensive line definitely needs some work and needs some help. So really like that pick. Lorenzo Carter. This is another guy that I don't think lived up to his potential at Georgia, but if he can get the right coach to lit a fire on his ass, you know, he has got the world of potential. And, I mean, at 6'6", he could affect the passing lanes of the quarterbacks, freakish athletic ability. They got him in the third round. I thought for sure he would be a second-round pick. Defensive tackle, B.J. Hill, North Carolina State, another guy who I kind of had going a lot of mocks, going late second, early third. I thought he got very good value getting him where they got him as well. A defensive tackle from North Carolina State, he will be a beast as well. So I think they're really good in this particular draft. And I definitely give the Giants an A. I really like just about all of their picks from a value standpoint of where they got them and what the kind of production they could possibly get early on in his draft. I mean, Barkley and Hernandez, you got two starters day one for sure. No doubt about it. Carter and Hill will be rotational players at least day one, and possibly may get a starter or two out of them too. So those guys will come in and contribute right away as well, at least from a rotational standpoint. So I really like what they did in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at them saying, okay, the foundation has been our defense. Our defense is still good. We add two pieces, like you said, rotationally put in there to keep guys fresh and just young athletic guys to come in. And, oh, yeah, we probably get the best athlete or prospect in the draft and Saquon Barkley at two. Yeah, I agree with you. You can quibble about the quarterbacks, but I feel like Gillum felt the same way I felt about it, that none of these guys float my boat like that where I feel like I have to take them. So he took the best guy on the board in Barkley. And, again, he can do everything. He can run. He can catch the pass. Somebody else that can help you in the return game. I don't think they're using him in the return game, except for maybe situationally, but he can absolutely do that as well. Great pick by the Giants. And you talk about it. What do the Giants want to do? They want to maul you. It's been their identity. They're going to play good defense. They want to run the ball down your throat and play action pass off that. So you get Barkley, and then you get a road grader in Hernandez with the Browns inexplicably passing him up and leaving him on the board. I just don't understand that. That's why I said some offensive lineman that I hadn't even really heard of like that that shouldn't have never been drafted before, Hernandez. I just don't get it. The Giants,
got
a really good draft. I know, right? We're gonna give Eli another chance to see what happens. If not, we're going to get our backup quarterback for the future, hopefully, in this draft, or let him at least compete with Davis Webb to see who the guy's going to be. But we're going to give him some offensive weapons to help keep him upright and to give him a dump down and a good run game. And also we're going to augment an already pretty good defense. Fantastic draft by the New York Giants.
JQ's a fan. We love it. All right. So, and apparently it does kind of feel like that we are kind of picking on you, JQ, because, again, all these Lamar Jackson tidbits. But, again, Rob, why do we feel like, I guess, the future is Lamar Jackson, or could he be the future of the NFL?
Well, I think he can bring a level of excitement to the game that from at the quarterback position that we haven't seen since Michael Vick. I think he has that capability of bringing that kind of excitement to the game. And I personally think he has an opportunity to be an even better passer than Michael Vick was as well. From an accuracy standpoint, I look at it as Lamar Jackson is a more accurate quarterback than what we saw out of Michael Vick. Michael Vick had a cannon for an arm, don't get me wrong. But I think from an accuracy standpoint, Lamar Jackson looks the part. Like I said, I just think there were teams just scared to pull the trigger. You know, a lot of teams don't think a mobile quarterback like this can get it done in the NFL anymore. And I just think teams are just scared to pull the trigger. But, I mean, when you watch his tape, I mean, he looks the part. He definitely looks the part. So I'm real interested to see if it's going to translate to the NFL. I think it will. I think Ozzie Newsome thinks it will as well. And so I think they got themselves a real steal as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you are torturing me.
And he got Orlando Brown and Mark Andrews in the third round, too.
Yeah, the Ravens, another team with a very, very good draft. Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah, Anthony Avery. Anthony Avery, cornerback from Alabama. They got him in the fourth round. Another guy I thought who could have gone in at least in the third round as well. So they had themselves a really good draft as well.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you when you were talking, but to me, Lamar Jackson is Michael Vick 2.0. He's a better version of who Michael Vick should have been if he would have taken the time to work on his craft and actually study and attend meetings and take it seriously and not just live off of talent.
Yep.
I believe that's who Lamar Jackson is, and that's why I say yes, and that's why I was so mad that the Bengals passed on. They were sitting there pretty to make a really good statement to the NFL and taking him, and they let a division rival do it, and that's what is so disappointing. But, yes, Lamar Jackson – just flat out, no doubt. I think not necessarily the future, because you're always going to want that big 6'4", 6'5", quarterback that has that touch and a cannon that can stand in the pocket. And there will always be a place for him, and they will always want that to be the testament of what a quarterback should be. Right. So you never got to necessarily knock that off of being the face. You're right. But in terms of everybody else, it's like, yeah, that's great if you get that guy, but if I can get this other guy that can always make a play on 3rd and 9 where a play shouldn't have been made, but he gets 11 yards and we stay on the field and we at least kick a field goal, if not score a touchdown, that's who Lamar Jackson, I believe, can be, and Deshaun Watson's of the world. So yes, I think not necessarily the future, but just another branch off what a good quarterback can be, and not your prototypical quarterback in the mode that we think of, Troy Aikman or one of those guys, those big statues in the pocket. And just to tie to the other one, to New England, I just don't think he's a New England kind of quarterback. That's just not what they do as long as Bill Belichick is there. But I think it's for Marvin Lewis or for some other teams or for Baltimore, I think he's a fantastic fit. So I don't think for the Patriots, that's just not – they would have to change their offense to suit what Lamar Jackson does. And it would go, I think, more against what they do now. Whereas other teams are more like, you know, we don't have a Bengal or a Raven way. We're just going to amend to what we think is what we should do because we just don't have that blueprint for success like New England does. So I agree, though. I think, you know, Lamar, again, I might have to eat a whole lot of crow about this in a year or two, but I think Lamar is going to be a guy, a stud in this league for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah. And I'll piggyback on my comments about the Patriots. I agree. I think the Patriots are still, even though Tom Brady is 40 years old, they're still in a win-now situation. And I don't know if you can say the same about the Ravens, and no offense to the Bengals, but you know, the Patriots right now are in a win-now situation. They're trying to do everything they can to give as much talent around Tom Brady and retool that defense as well. And the Patriots, they need it. They needed help on that offensive line big time. They got that in Isaiah Wynn. They needed depth at running back. They got that in Sony Michel. They traded away Brandon Cook. So, even though they were scoring points offensively, they still need a lot of help offensively, and they definitely need a lot of help on the defensive side of the football. And so the Patriots, they're in the win-now situation, and they'll come back around at some point and address that quarterback. They're still, as long as Tom Brady is playing at the level he's playing at, they're in the win-now mode.
Yep.
Good call. Hey, I agree with you. I'm just very disappointed about Michael Vick because I think he could have single-handedly changed the whole position of the NFL. I'm so upset about how he couldn't apply himself, JQ. So, good call on that.
No.
Rob,
he never was going to change that.
No.
You were right. You said the face. They will always be the 6'4", 6'5", quarterback, they will want to be the face that just slides around in the pocket and makes plays in the pocket and make these certain throws without having that elusive kind of dart around and scramble and just it look like a running back or wide receiver making a run from the quarterback position. Even though we all like it, I think from an NFL perspective, they'll always want that big statuesque quarterback to stand in the pocket and sling that ball. I just believe that.
Okay.
I just don't think they'll ever change it.
Okay, let me just what I'm saying. Good call. What I'm saying is, like, I think he had the potential to kind of, like, definitely redefine certain things, too. Say, hey, this is another way to look at that because he could have, if he would have applied himself and could have done things, he could have, you know, you could have had that same guy, but then he could have literally said, hey, let's make quarterbacks like Marco Vick or whatever, too. I still think he had the potential to do certain great things, but now, unfortunately, because of what happened, he's not going to be able to get a chance to do that. And so now, again, you have, like Rob said, you've got, like, this Lamar Jackson character, so he's very accurate. He's got a lot of things going for him. But, again, it's just they're not quite ready for that just yet, too. So, again, I think that's kind of because Vic kind of set them back, too. But, again, good call. And I disagree about the Patriots. I think the Patriots could have literally – Bill Belichick is that guy, right? He could have figured out a way to make Lamar Jackson effective if he wanted to. So, again, that's water under the bridge now. But for what we're looking for –
he has to change everything that he does. Like, that's just not what
he
does.
Would,
that's not what they do.
But he could have been the guy to – you know, if he wanted to invest in that. Because they met with him. They were impressed with him. So, for whatever reason, it didn't transpire.
Whatever.
Yeah, you can't believe everything you hear about the draft, man.
They're doing that to improve the status of their two picks in the first round to see if anybody wants to trade for them. If they put the thought of we might take him out there.
They could have done that too. We could have been
these teams, you know, they throw so many smoke screens. And just like JQ said, you know, they could have been hoping that Lamar Jackson goes ahead of them to hope that another better player falls to them.
Fair enough, too. I'm saying if they did meet with him and all the stuff, things that happened, I'm saying
if he
wanted to make that investment, he could have been the guy if he wanted to. Without, like I said, this is why
if he wants to.
But, you know,
I get you. If he wants to.
You know, so So again,
I got you. You're right. If he wanted to, you're absolutely right. He could have if he wanted to. I just challenge the fact that I don't think he wanted to because that's just not the Patriot and the Belichick way. But he's a good enough coach that if he wanted to, he could have done that. I will give you that.
Gotcha. He could be like, I'm going to make this happen. So anyway, long story long, we're getting back to this. All of us are passionate. We've got some good thoughts and everything like that. And let's kind of talk about, Rob, your kind of best five picks of the first round.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's start. For me, I start with Sam Darnold, one of the Jets, at number three. To me, I still think he will be the best quarterback in this draft. And I could be wrong, but I think he will turn out to be the best quarterback in this draft, and the Jets were able to get him at number three. So they get a flat-out steal to me here. And to me, I think he's the guy that's going to be in the film room. He's going to be studying. He's going to improve his game. I think he's in the right situation. And he's going to be with the team. If Todd Bowles can continue to be there with the Jets, you know you're going to have a good defense. You know you're going to have a defense that put pressure on the quarterback. And so Darnold will have an opportunity to shine with a good defense on the other side of the ball there. You give him a running game, some receivers, and I think he could be in a very good situation for many, many years to come. So to me, I would start there. The second one, I would start with Bradley Chubb going to Denver.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I thought this guy was clearly a guy that should have been going in the top four, maybe even the top two. And may even turn out to be the best player in this draft. Period. I mean, we have to see if it's him or Saquon Barkley as far as being the best player outside of a quarterback. But now you put him opposite of Von Miller. Oh man, Vance Joseph, man, who's got himself. Obviously they got to replace Tlaib at the cornerback position, but they can still affect the other team's passing games by getting to the quarterback. And now having Chubb and Von Miller, and I think Von Miller can still play at a high level for at least a few more years. They're really going to affect the other team's quarterback here in the next couple of years. So outstanding for the Denver Broncos. I talked about Josh Rosen already. Another one who, other than his whining and complaining, getting him at the number 10 spot for Arizona, I thought this was a really good situation for him. And obviously, Sam Bradford, he may not walk in and start right away either, but he better be ready because Sam Bradford hadn't played a full season yet. And he only played one game last year. So he's going to have to get ready fast and be ready to play, but I think he got himself into a very good situation. Minkah Fitzpatrick going to Miami. Minkah Fitzpatrick is a versatile defensive back. I mean, he can play corner, he can play safety, he's smart. He's physical, and I really like this pick as well, going number 11. This is a guy at one point we thought we even going to top four as well in the draft. So I really like this pick for the Miami Dolphins, getting them someone that can be very versatile in the secondary for the Miami Dolphins. And my last one for top five, Tremaine Edmonds, going number 16 to the Buffalo Bills from Virginia Tech. Another versatile linebacker. I think you can put him in the middle. You can have him rushing a passer on passing downs. He can really move side to side. He can do everything from a linebacker's perspective. He can drop in coverage, and he's got great size. He's about 6'4", 6'5", great range. I think he will be an impact player on that defense for the Buffalo Bills, and they got him at number 16. I really like that pick. I really like his versatility. Like I said, he can be a middle linebacker on early downs. He can move to the edge on passing downs. He can do everything from the linebacker position. I really thought he should have been the guy that could have been picked a little bit higher as well. I love that pick as well for the Buffalo Bills. And
so
honorable mention, I'll go with Derwin James going 17.
Come on, man.
To the Chargers.
Man, that was one of my five. You had your five. Mm. So I agree with Chubb for sure. And I threw the honorable mention because Barkley, I just think the Giants and not overthinking and getting the best prospect and putting him out there, best running back they'll have to Tiki Barber. He might end up being the Adrian Peterson type. But to move on, my next one was Derwin James for San Diego at 17. Listen, you got Jason Verrett and Casey Hayward at cornerback. You put Derwin James at safety, and you're talking about Bosa and Ingram coming off the ends. Yeah, that San Diego defense doesn't get a whole lot of love, but that cornerback position was really good for them. Bosa and Ingram were really good coming off the edge. Now you solidify the middle of that field with Derwin James, a fantastic pick by San Diego. I can't believe Derwin James fell to 17.
They might be a team that, not to cut you off, but the Chargers are going to be a team competing for the Super Bowl next year. And I really believe that. I think they're the best team in that division. And Casey Hayward, he might be the best corner in the game, too, and to go with those stud pass rushers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a team that were playing as good as anybody in the AFC toward the end of the season. And we had to, unfortunately, see the Buffalo Bills go to the playoffs, but the Chargers were a more deserving team. And and I think teams in the AFC were happy they didn't go.
Yeah,
but,
you're right.
Yeah.
That defense
is
going to be
phenomenal. Derwin James, yeah, they're going to be, to me, they're right up there as being one of the top two or three teams in the AFC next year.
Absolutely. I got to throw Andre some love. Listen, Calvin Ridley with his route running and not having to worry about being double-teamed coming into the league as a first-round pick at wide receiver because, you got Julio Jones on the other side. Listen, I got to see Atlanta in week four. You guys see him twice this year, every year like you always do for Rob and his Saints. That makes that Atlanta offense really, really scary with him, Sanu, and Julio being their top three wide receivers with that Tevin Coleman and Devontae in the backfield and the MVP quarterback and Matt Ryan. I mean, ooh, goodness gracious, that was real nasty by Atlanta. That's a great value pick. You know how I feel about Lamar Jackson and Baltimore. I won't beat that horse no more. I feel like that's a fantastic pick for Baltimore. And one under the radar that I really liked, and not because I saw him today, and that's Mike, and that's Green Bay, and get Jair Alexander, and then also coming behind him and pairing him with Josh Jackson. You talk about that offense, and you feel like Aaron Rodgers and that offense is going to take care of their business, but you now have two guys that can come in, I think, and start at cornerback for you. And help repair some of that defense. And you still got Blake Martinez in the middle. They've got some pieces in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and still patrolling the back end of that defense. Fantastic by Green Bay putting those two guys together. But I really like that Jair Alexander pick. I think he flew under the radar, and I think he's going to be a really, really good cornerback for Green Bay and in this league for some years to come.
Good call. Hey, I agree with you, too. It's funny, too, because I remember whenever we were talking about something happening with the draft, and I could have swore that I didn't think Calvin Ridley was going to be there. I thought he would get by Dallas. Clearly, Carolina had a couple of squads I thought that he would be there for. And so whenever we were sitting right there, I'm thinking, is this going to happen? And it actually came to fruition. So it was a pleasant surprise because, again, I think even looking at the draft, we had no clue what they were going to do. I'm like, it could have been anything. I really do think, though, our second-round pick, Isaiah Oliver, I think that if Calvin Ridley was not there, we probably would have taken him in the first round. So that's just kind of how I think Dan Quinn liked that guy. So, again, great pick in the second round as well. But the first five, I agree with you guys. There's some good picks. Definitely love, Derwin James. It's crazy. Minka falling to the Dolphins. You're like, what? And it kind of feels like the Dolphins, right, are like spreading rumors, right? You know, hey, certain things, like they're getting away with some things too. But it's just hilarious. I know I'm just being facetious, but, Dolphins, man, they're getting some good picks. And then, again, you got to give credit to the quarterback love, too. Like I said, a lot of guys, I feel like this is one of the drafts where it feels like it's a win-win for a couple teams because everyone made their picks and they knew what they wanted to get to. And it was definitely good to see just the excitement as far as, just the draft. I was really pleased with everything like that, too. So, again, happy for our squads and little things like that. Let's kind of wrap this up here. And I know we definitely want to get really quickly to the Jets. Rob, I put a note about your comment that Darnold's going to be the best quarterback in this draft. So I'm keeping track of that. And JQ, stay tuned because I've got Rob's draft back in the day too. And it's going to be interesting to see his comments when I send that to you. I'm emailing it to you guys whenever I get it scanned in because it was just hilarious to see back in the day, like Rob made it even going back whenever he made some draft picks. And this was crazy. I'm looking at the notes. It's pretty good. But really quickly, Rob, talk about the Jets, how they did. And we're going to definitely talk about some OKC basketball, little things like that. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to piggyback off of both of you guys' comments, and I will give the Falcons credit as much as I hate it. But I thought they did a really good job on their first two picks as well, getting Calvin Ridley and Isaiah Oliver. And, yeah, they, offensively, if they can fix the offensive line, yeah, we've seen that Matt Ryan has a protection. He can pick you apart, especially if he's got the weapons. And so that's kind of scary. But like I said, if they can fix the offensive line issues that they had last year, and that could be a really scary situation. And so, yeah, my Saints are going to have to get ready. And Isaiah Oliver, getting him in the second round, too, I thought was a really good pick as well. Not necessarily, you know, I'm a big fan of not reaching for needs in draft and then getting guys that can come in and have an impact on your team. Sometimes it's good to build on the strength on your team, and I thought they did that with getting Isaiah Oliver there in the second round as well. So I thought those were really two really good picks and smart drafting for the Falcons in those first two picks of the draft. Getting to the Jets, we already talked about Sam Darnold here. I really like that pick. And for the most part, they were solid. You know, getting Nathan Shepard, defensive tackle from Fort Hays State in the third round, that's kind of like right where I had him targeted, you know, based on where he played college ball. But he's got a real potential to be a real stud here, too. He looks like a football player. And, you know, he just played at Fort Hays State. But 6'4", 315 pounds. He's got strength. He's got athleticism. You know, born and raised in Canada. And this guy looks like he can be a real stud. I did have him going around the third round. So that was right where he was projected to go. Also, their fourth-round pick, Chris Herndon, athletic tight end from Miami, had him going right there in about the same spot in the fourth round, 6'4", 253 pounds. Obviously, he's coming off an MCL injury in November. They kind of brought him down to the middle rounds, but if he can get healthy, really good pick as well. Perry Nickerson, cornerback from Tulane. You know, I had him going in the fifth round. He goes in the sixth to the Jets. So also, this is a really good pick. He ran a 4.32 at the combine. So speed is written all over him. I think Todd Bowles will coach him up. And he might even be finding his way to being a sleeper in his draft. So I thought the Jets were very solid in their draft and their approach. You know, I give them about an A-minus or B-plus on what they did in the draft here. So I thought they were very solid as well.
I just don't think they gave Sam Darnold – I still don't think he has enough weapons. I'm just not in love with the Jets skill position group. I'm not. I hear what you're saying. I mean, solid, not spectacular picks throughout the draft. Outside of Darnold, I think it's a really good pick. I mean, he just woke up to Darnold. I don't think they even in their wildest dreams thought that was really going to happen. If you're talking about the safest pick, quarterback pick in the class, it was Darnold. Him getting him at three is huge for them. But I just don't think they have enough weapons offensively yet. I was a little shocked that they didn't do more offensively. The tight end from Miami, I think he's more of a blocking tight end right now. He was the one that did all the dirty work when the tight end that Cleveland has in Jetway or something like that. He was more of the receiving tight end, and the guy that the Jets got was more of the blocking tight end. But he is athletic. I just don't think they have enough offensive weapons. But that's enough time for me talking about the Jets. I mean, I think they'll still play good defense, but I just don't think they have enough offense to put them over the hump.
Yeah, at some point they're really going to have to address the running back position too. And they're going to need a stud at that position for sure. But based on what they had, they obviously gave up a lot in draft to move up to number three. So based on the number of picks that they had, I thought they did a very solid job. But at some point they will have to address how they can get better at the running back position. And they can still use another weapon at the receiver position, too. Robbie Anderson really did come on last season. Has a pretty good weapon on the edge. But like you said, I totally agree. They will need some more help, from a weapon standpoint. But I don't have any problem with a lot of their picks, though, as far as from a value and what players they got in return.
I hear you.
All right. We've done a good recap of the NFL draft. Now we're excited to see how everything happens with training camps, cemetery, all the fun stuff. So we'll keep an eye on that. Gentlemen, let's talk about some NBA now. And I want to table this,
this topic
some point, too. But, you can take that, too. But I definitely want to talk about the future of OKC. But I do want to talk – just keep this in your back pocket, Rob, too, as far as the state of fans and basketball. And it could be any sport, typically, but just kind of it's fresh because what happened – with Russell Westbrook and fan in Utah as far as things. And I think fans should should actually start being accountable for stuff too. So anyway, we'll talk about that later. But what about the future of OKC now? What's going to look like, JQ?
Oh, I say me first. Did you see this fool today, Carmelo Anthony, talking about, P, they want me to come off the bench? Oh, no, that's not a possibility. I said, come on, Carmelo.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What tape are you watching that none of the rest of us are seeing? Even if, as much as Paul George is going to be coveted, he was fantastic in that comeback win, but he was awful the other day. Mm-hmm. What, 5 points, I think? I mean, it was really bad. You got to give Utah a lot of credit. They played really well. But yeah, we talk a lot about, you know, what Oklahoma City has done to address and try to fill in around Russell Westbrook. But the question we never ask is Russell Westbrook happy about what they did? Like, is he happy with Carmelo Anthony? Is he happy with Paul George? We assume that he is because we feel like, oh, he's got name talent next to him. But he might not be happy with those guys. And when you watch Oklahoma City play, you don't really see Paul George and Russell Westbrook play off of each other in tandem and destroy a defense. Ooh, I almost cussed. I'm sorry. You see them go one-on-one, and one of them will get hot, and they'll get going. And then the other one will get hot a little bit when they're playing at their best, and he'll get going. But you never see them pick and roll and play off of each other, and they both make them not only themselves better, but everybody else around them better. Steven Adams does a good job rim running, but in terms of making 3 through 11 better on that team together as the top two options, I don't see that. Now you have a malcontent in Carmelo who can opt out, but he's talking that noise. But who else is on board? He's got like a player option for like $28 million, $25 million. Like, nobody's paying him that kind of money if he's outside of that contract. I just can't see him leaving. So now you have him. If he does, more power to him for sacrificing money to go somewhere to be happy. But now if he doesn't, and he's technically on the roster, he's there for another year, and he's not going to come off the bench, now you have to deal with that. And can you keep Paul George? And if you can't, now you got Carmelo starting when he shouldn't be starting. And does he can create friction with Russell Westbrook? I see what Oklahoma City tried to do after missing out on trading Harden and messing that up. But my goodness, to lose in the first round with the kind of talent that they have on paper, I just don't see that progressing well. I see it being Russell Westbrook being a Kawhi Leonard in a year or two, trying to get himself out of Oklahoma City after signing that contract. I do.
Wow. Rob, JQ said a lot.
I can see why you said me first. That was a very good assessment
good
of OKC situation. And just to add a little bit more to that, just think about it here. OKC added Paul George and Carmelo Anthony this offseason, and they only won one more playoff game than they won last year. Mm. Now, obviously, that was a questionable call at the end of that game in Game 6, but there's still no guarantee that they would have won that game in Game 6 that night. I mean, they added Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, and they only won one more playoff game. They won one playoff game last year. This year they won two. Yeah.
That's so
by
bad.
After adding Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. And so obviously from a chemistry standpoint, the Carmelo Anthony thing, or not wanting to come off the bench, OKC has got to get rid of him. I mean, they have to get rid of Carmelo Anthony. You know you're going to lose Paul George, so that's a given. He's not coming back. But you also have to get rid of Carmelo Anthony. Anybody that's not going to put the team first,
yep,
and do what's best for the team, you got to get rid of him. He should not be welcome back on that basketball team next season. OKC has got to do everything possible, even if they get draft picks or some role players in return. And technically that's all Carmelo Anthony is at this point of his career anyway, is a role player.
Yes.
He don't want to be. He thinks he's still a star, and that's why he don't want to come off the bench. So why not get rid of him, get some guys that's really going to come in and play their role and be team guys. You have to get rid of Carmelo Anthony. And so that's a must. And like I said, we know we're going to lose Paul George already. They have to try to do something else to try to build something around Westbrook. But like I said, he's going to be gone here soon and try to join another team with two or three stars and things of that nature. But it just didn't work out. OKC, you got to give their management team an eighth in effort. For trying to put together a team that can compete with Golden State and Houston's of the world, but it just didn't work out. And Carmelo Anthony is not the player that he was 10 years ago. and he hadn't met anybody in the league he can guard. And so, I mean, yeah, he has it.
Wow. Rob is going in.
finish it off, Rob. Finish it.
Well, I think I'm about done. But yeah, they have to get rid of Carmelo Anthony. Yeah. If he's not going to give you 25 points, 30 points, and then with the lack of efficiency on defense that he's giving you, and he's not going to be a team player. We've said this several times on the show that their best bet is to bring him off the bench, and he's saying no to coming off the bench. You got mm-hmm. You just have to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, we're moving on here. That's a very good comment. JQ, way to set us up, man. That was fantastic.
Sorry.
Hey, it's all good. That's what it's all about here. Let's kind of recap here a couple things here. We had a game 7 with the Indiana Pacers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tell us your thoughts about that. I'm still going to let you have the floor first, JQ, in this part.
Well, I'll leave with this. The two text messages you guys both said were both absolutely correct. But when you said the one about Oladipo not having enough help, I was thinking the same thing, like, well, LeBron ain't getting it either. And then Rob came right behind, like, that's the same thing Cleveland should do for LeBron. I was like, I was thinking the same thing, too. You got two superstars going right at it with the role players not doing what they should do. And I don't care what Cleveland says or what LeBron says, there's no way he thought he was going to a Game 7, a hard-fought Game 7 series against Indiana. And, I mean, you kind of feels like he's got Toronto's number, but, I mean, they just came off a bruising series with Indiana. They don't get that, you know, 3, 4, 5 days rest that other teams have gotten in between the first and second round. They turn it right back mm-hmm. around and having to go to Toronto. That's I think they're in trouble. I really do. Even as much as I talked about Toronto's playoff failures, I mean, it looks like those guys are just not ready to play playoff basketball for him. So for me, that's what I took out of that game is that you got two really good, strong alpha males in those two guys, but not enough supporting cast to make them a real threat to win the championship.
Yep. Nice. All right. Again, I love how everyone's going in. Rob, tell us your thoughts. And I got to tell you, too, I think Indiana needs a second, you know, shooter, somebody to help Victor Oladipo. This is his coming out party for him, too. They see a little bit more help on that team, mm-hmm. for sure. They got some help, but they need, some, like, another bona fide guy, too. They pushed the brand. Go ahead.
OKC's got to be regretting making that trade now because you're going to lose Paul George, and now Victor Oladipo is going off.
Yeah,
man.
James Harden and Oladipo, what are they doing? Lord have mercy.
Those have been two freaks in the backcourt, man. Oladipo and Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm. The good thing is they finally get guys in the draft. So you got to feel confident about that.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you got to give Nate McMillan a lot of credit for Oladipo's success, too. And Nate McMillan, I think it was a guy that really turned his career around and gave him the words of confidence to get him ready to play at this level, too. And Victor Oladipo admitted it. He said, McMillan is the first coach that has really gave me those words of encouragement to go out and really work and get in shape and get his body together and how they believed in him of being this type of player. And so it probably took McMillan being that coach to get him to that level. So who knows if he would have ever been that player in OKC. But credit to McMillan
mm-hmm.
and Oladipo for putting in the work as well. But mm-hmm. he looks like he's going to be a player for many years to come. In the league. But, getting back to Cleveland's win, as you know, LeBron, how many 40-point games he had in this series? So, three?
Yeah.
It took him three 40-point games to win three of these four games.
Right, against Indiana.
Yeah. I mean, and I think in all of those 40-point games, he almost had triple-doubles as well. And today he even had four steals.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable the type of numbers that he's putting up. Even at this stage in his career with 33 years old, 34 years old. So, I mean, it's unbelievable. He's pretty much carrying his team on his back. I think they actually still have a shot against Toronto, though, because I was not impressed with Toronto. I was more impressed with Toronto in the regular season than I have been in the playoffs so far. And we'll see. I think we're going to look at another at least 6-7-game series. I don't really know who's going to win it. But I think Cleveland's got a chance. I still think Philly is a team to beat. I don't think anybody's going to beat Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference. And now Boston look like they're going to be without Jaylen Brown here for game one. I just like Philly. They're young. And they got the right amount of veterans to help them out as being role players on that team. But I think Cleveland's got a shot to get by Toronto. I don't see if they do get by Toronto, I don't think they get by Philly. I think that'll be the end of the road for this will be the end of the road for LeBron James getting the Eastern Conference Finals. He just don't have the team that's gonna, you know, to support him in getting there. And
oh yeah,
every superstar needs a supporting cast. You didn't see Michael Jordan get to the finals without Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman and Horace Grant and those guys. You didn't see Magic Johnson get to the finals without James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, every superstar needs these supporting cast, and he just don't have it. So, I mean, this is the end of the road for him getting to the NBA Finals. I'm not this year anyway. He may get back there in the next few years maybe, but I just can't see the Cavs getting back to the NBA Finals this year at all.
No.
Although we've come to the end of the road. Little boys.
Oh, wow.
So that Rob's dropping down. Hey, good call. Hey, let's go ahead and wrap this up, guys. So, again, not to bring this on you, Rob, too, but it was just kind of a rough game for
Well, I put it on
the
topic, so I did it to myself.
yeah, again, so, and I think, you know, we were talking about pre-show about, you know, thoughts about Pelicans not needing DeMarcus Cousins, and clearly – it's all about matchups. Each series has a different matchup, too. Mm-hmm. So, again, it just seems like, you know, you guys, the guard mm-hmm. play, you're able to kind of, like, mess around Portland, different scenario with Golden State. Tell us your thoughts about that, and can they bounce back in the series?
Well, I think they can be more competitive. I mean, I never projected them to win the series over the Warriors. I do think they can bounce back and be a little bit more competitive, but obviously – man, what's more competitive? I mean, just losing by 5 or 10 points instead of 20 points? or winning one game in the series? You know, I thought they had a chance to win two games in the series going into it. And now I look at it like, it may be lucky if they win one.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the kind of the way it's looking. And it's about matchups. And just as I was, you know, I talked to other Pelicans fans, too. And, you know, we don't need DeMarcus Cousins. No, you still need DeMarcus Cousins. And the reason you need more good players on your team is every team you match up against is going to be different. So the more mm-hmm. options you have, the better you are as far as continuing to advance on different teams that you're going against. And mm-hmm. This is a classic example. I mean, I don't think they would be in position to beat the Warriors even if they had Cousins this year. But I do think, you know, going forward, they still need him. I think every team in the NBA goes through a development process. The Warriors had to go through it to get here. You know, your Pistons had to go through the Celtics. The Bulls had to go through the Pistons. And mm-hmm. this is the Pelicans still in the growing period here. I think they got an opportunity with Anthony Davis, who's playing like a stud. Drew Holiday has really turned his career back around, too. And you get DeMarcus Cousins back, and I think hopefully they can bring in Rajon Rondo back for a few more years too. I think he's mm-hmm. been a really good piece, and Mirotić is a good piece as well. So they got a chance to have four or five good players and some decent role players for them to be around for the next 5 or 6 years here if they do it right for the Pelicans. So every team has to go through this growing process, and I think this is just that process that they have to go through, and you know, we'll see. Hopefully they can keep it going here to continue to grow. But they definitely need DeMarcus Cousins. But I think they will be more competitive, maybe winning one game.
Yeah, there's no turnaround. There's no turnaround. This is over. And it is, and I'm sorry, but it is. And we talked about it, you know, pre-show for the folks that wasn't privy to our conversation. The length that they had on – the Lillard and McCollum background, they are now on the opposite side of that going against Golden State. And I think that's going to be your bugaboo for New Orleans. And I'll reserve judgment on New Orleans' future. Yeah, they're playing fantastic. That sweep of Portland was an eye-catcher.
Wasn't even close.
But the thing about that is you got – is DeMarcus Cousins, even if you can re-sign him, is he going to be the same DeMarcus Cousins? Because, I mean, that Achilles injury is tough. Can you get Rondo back? Is Rondo looking at it as a stepping stone to somewhere else? You never know. So you can't bank on free agency. when you're talking about the long-term future, when you have, you know, two guys that are going to be cogs in your hopeful rebuild. This is just Golden State being Golden State. Like, I really thought New Orleans was going to have a chance to keep it close in that game. And then Golden State just went on one of those Golden State runs that they can do. And if you can't at least score a half of what they do, if not three-quarters of it, you don't have a chance come fourth quarter. And that's what happened to New Orleans. They only scored about a quarter of what Golden State was doing during that run. And you looked up and they were down 23. And you're like, good Lord, what happened? It was a tie game at 39. And now they're down 25, like in a blink of an eye. And that's just what Golden State can do to you. And you have to have a very, very special team to compete with that Golden State team. And I just don't think New Orleans, as they are equipped now without Cousins, to do that. But I tell you what, you're right. Everybody that was talking that noise about Cousins that knows basketball and saw the length display and about what Cousins can and can't do, what he could provide against that new Golden State team, we're like, yeah, we might need Cousins back here moving forward.
And to me, you know, that run that Golden State went on, is they really punched the Pelicans in the mouth. I mean, they were more physical, and, you know, they were pushing the Pelicans around. And to me, that's when you needed somebody like a Cousins.
Yeah.
And even in the Portland series, if you really watch it, they struggled with defending Nurkic in the paint. And they didn't have anybody with the brute strength to be able to battle him down low. So you missed that element of Cousins. And, yeah, there is a question mark of him coming back from the Achilles. And, you know, but I think from a physicality standpoint, if he can be 80% of the player he was, you know, he can still move that body around and give you some physical presence down there. And that's what they're really missing without him at the moment. And like I said, they were able to get by Portland without him. But you need to have as many pieces as possible on your team if you're going to continue to advance going forward.
Especially in that Western Conference. Yes, sir.
Yep.
There it is. All right, gentlemen, way to have a fantastic show. So, again, let's wrap this up as we get prepared for next week. I'm kind of scared about the lady, too, so let's wrap this up quickly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you've been with us, we're going to be back on the air on Wednesday night, May 9th. We're going to be another week and a half before we're back on the air. So it'll be Wednesday night, May 9th, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Pacific. I'm sorry, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Definitely tune in live. Obviously, we'll have some more post-draft coverage. We'll start getting into mini camps, getting into OTAs. And there's going to be a minor wave of free agency taking place.
Yep.
Where would Dez Bryant sign? You're going to see some post-draft signings going forward here. And now the teams are still going to see what needs that they still have now that they went through the draft process. So we'll see how that plays out as well going forward. Obviously, we still got the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball. So a lot going on in the sports world. We have it all covered for you. You don't want to miss us on Wednesday, May 9th, 11 p.m. Eastern. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Can't say it better than that. I was going to talk about the second wave of free agency. I appreciate y'all listening to us a little longer, but we got to talk like that when you have the NBA playoffs happening and the NFL draft. We always appreciate y'all listening to the show and downloading the podcast and listening to the OT portion. We love y'all. We holler at y'all next Wednesday. Good night, good people.
Good job. Looking forward to next week as well. Gentlemen, have a fantastic week, as always, and we'll dig into a couple things as well as far as, again, as the dust settles, as far as, you know, we talk about draft grades and stuff like that. Rob, you got 2019 ready for the mock draft already? Got to be on it, bro.
I'm working on it.
I'll give you a hard time. No, it's all good. Hey, we'll have some fun.
Yeah,
so,
but,
again,
you know,
gentlemen.
Probably come mid-June or so, we'll start getting to the NBA mock. You know, the draft is at the end of June, so we'll start working on that here pretty soon.
Yeah, good times. All right. Hey, guys, again, it's been a pleasure. America, thank you for listening to us and letting us kind of do our thing like we always do. Till the next show, we will see you guys in the next week. Be good, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Good show. Good talking to y'all. See y'all later.
Good night, peoples. Yep.